Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to another episode of MLS UK Show Stoppage Time, the bonus episode from us at the MLS UK Show. And by us, I mean me, Henry Hewitt, and as always, I'm joined by...
Elliot Holman, thanks for coming back.
Yes, we're back for our second Stoppage Time of 2023. Elliot, I think the question on everyone's lips is how did you do on their stag do in Leeds at the weekend?
I definitely slept in my car having watched Orlando on Apple TV. I snuck away, broke away from the group at about midnight and thought, it's night two. We'd already done Friday. I thought, yeah, we'll be all right. And I enjoyed it. It was very comfortable. So it started as a bit of a joke, like, oh, I'm going to sleep in the car. It was actually fantastic. So highly recommend.
We'd record it on Tuesday. How are you? How are you feeling? Are you still worse for wear, or did you manage to shake it off on Monday?
I don't know if anyone else has ever experienced this, but on this stag do, it was lots of rugby lads, boo rugby, team soccer and all that. And apparently it's a thing within the rugby community. They do this thing called court on a stag do. And Henry's eyes have lit up, so he's obviously suffered this before.
I've not, actually.
Okay, so the best man has his gavel and his wig, and he's the judge. And basically, anything that happens on the stag do will be punished. So you'll be called in front of the judge, where you must kneel, and you'll be sentenced for any number of things that you might have done. I did have to. I'll be honest with you. Everyone there was a Derby fan. So I had to drink for being a Norwich and Orlando fan. I had to down a pint. I'm not quite as good at downing pints as the rugby lads. So, yeah, not ideal. But we got through it. Oh, also, every time I finished my pint, I had to do my best Delia Smith impression. Like, where are you? Lesby Avenue. Quite humiliating in the middle of Wetherspoons. But we move.
Yeah, well, it sounds like I've never been on a rugby stag do. I don't know where we'd... Maybe like a sort of a frat boy sort of situation if we were to compare it to something from America. But yeah, it sounds exactly how I thought it would sound like. So well done. You got through it. You got to the other side and we're doing another episode. That was my one worry, that we wouldn't be able to do any more episodes.
And I managed to watch some MLS as well. So it was, all in all, it was good survival.
Great. So let's talk about MLS then. And I feel we need to start this week's episode of Stoppage Time with an apology. And it's an apology to St. Louis. St. Louis City won their first three games on the verge of breaking the expansion record for winning most games at the start of a season, which was Seattle Sounders in 2009 with three. If they beat San Jose at the weekend, they get to four. And we're here. And we've basically, all the way through the season so far, said, yeah, the bubble will burst at some point. And it's not doing.
Not yet. I will echo your apology to St. Louis City fans. However, I do feel it will be short-lived still. I am impressed, and I have to commend them. Obviously, we've talked about the previous games. This one at the weekend, away at Portland, that's hugely impressive. It's quite a chaotic style that they play. And I think that makes them very difficult to predict, but it's also very difficult to sustain. It's very difficult to coach. So while I think it's maybe actually quite a genius approach as you come into the league and no one really knows what you're going to be about and what your style of play is, I'd liken it to, you know, how everyone eventually caught on to Jamie Vardy at Leicester, like running, you know, getting around the back. I do worry a little bit that, you know, if that's it, if that's the plan, it's going to come unstuck. But yeah, I echo your apology. 3 wins from 3 in MLS, 2 on the road as well. Fair play. Fair play.
Yeah, well, we perhaps shouldn't be talking about Jamie Vardy on this podcast with what's happened with his MLS pro team, Rochester. But we move on to St. Louis again. It's I read a stat the other day, and I think it's pretty much like 95% of teams that have won their first 3 matches have gone on to make playoffs, which we were saying that if they get anywhere near the playoffs, that would be a great result, like Charlotte did last year. So they're already on course to do that. You said there that the bubble possibly will burst, but there's rumours this week that Roberto Firmino could be joining from Liverpool. I mean, if he signed, where would you put St. Louis then? How far could they go?
Huge statement of intent if they get that done. We know from Miami that it's very easy to get some rumours out there and find a big name and attach them to your club. We know that. Very few of the Miami ones have come off. And then teams like Montreal suddenly surprise you with Victor Wanyama, for example. So, you know, we'll take it with a pinch of salt for now. If they get that across the line, obviously it won't be until the summer transfer window. So we'll be at least halfway into the season. However, of course, that's a game changer. You put the ball in the right spot and Bobby Firmino is going to score a goal. However, do they not have that already? We've already uncovered the fact that their number 9 is an absolute diamond in the rough.
Yeah. I mean, as it stands, I don't think they particularly need anyone else. Just keep putting the same team out and they're going to win every week. But I think maybe it is a bit of lazy journalism. Roberto Firmino was at Hoffenheim when the St. Louis City sporting director, whose name I'm not going to try and pronounce because there's a lot of random vowels in there. But he was there at that time. So maybe there is a link there. He's also linked with LAFC, who, if they're not linked with Inter Miami, players are going to be linked with LAFC, so we'll wait and see on that one. We do know he's definitely leaving Liverpool at the end of the season, and I would love to see him in MLS, and I think it would be a big statement of intent by St. Louis City, as you said there, because, you know, as well as they are doing, like we were saying at the start of the season, surely there's got to be something else, maybe in the summer, but no, as we said, they don't suppose they need him at the moment. Right, let's move on to the second topic, and it actually is about LAFC, and it's about LAFC and Bayern Munich. They have teamed up, which for MLS fans, looking at LAFC last season and looking how they've started this season, is quite a scary thought that they've teamed up with Bayern Munich.
Anybody teaming up with Bayern Munich is scary, to be honest. LAFC teaming up with Bayern Munich, the team who seem to be able to do the most magic with their roster, out of anybody in MLS, and then put it into practice on the field as well and dominate teams. That is a frightening concept. And fair play to them, because I think what's happened here is they've capitalized on their success. They had huge success last year. They can go to Bayern Munich and go, look, we're the greatest team in North America. Hey, don't come for me. Want to hook up? You up? ? And this is a really, really, really excellent opportunity for both clubs, to be fair. Bayern Munich are a much bigger club, of course, but they will benefit from this too. And I want to see more of this in MLS, to be honest, because I think teams in Europe are starting to appreciate that MLS teams have got a lot to offer. We keep seeing these youngsters moving over to Europe. This is a big opportunity for Bayern as much as it is for LAFC.
Just before I give my 2p about this, I need to just point out that it has started absolutely throwing it down here in Manchester. So if you can hear rain in the background of my microphone, that's what that is. If you know Mancunian weather, then you'll know that this is hardly a surprise. Right, back to LAFC and Bayern Munich. They're calling it a global soccer development cooperation. LAFC have said it's the latest step in their evolution. And yeah, I mean, there's not many better teams in Europe to team up with from an LAFC point of view. And we've seen with Alphonso Davies going over and settling really well, a few more players from MLS going over to Germany of like around the area as well. It is a market that that both would love to tap into, and quite clearly they've done the research and found that the best teams for each other are these teams. And LAFC, I know some people have been talking around this as saying that could they be the new MLS global soccer franchise? Could they be the biggest, and the best? Are we in for a sort of New England Patriots sort of era in MLS with LAFC? And to be honest, if they're going to be teaming up with Bayern Munich and getting some of their players and vice versa, you can't really argue that that could actually happen.
I think what keeps this quite grounded is, of course, the roster rules. There's only so much that they would be able to do, but it proves that, you know, I presume Bayern are likely to send them maybe a higher caliber player than somebody like Colorado, for example, or RSL might be able to get on loan from Europe. And I think that's going to be the key. You only get so many loans. You only get so many internationals. However, if those loans and internationals are of a much higher standard because of your partnership with the team, fantastic.
Yeah, right. Let's move on to the next talking point in MLS this week. And it's about Lionel Messi. Maybe Messi going to Inter Miami is the one hope we've got from not having LAFC as the next big franchise who are going to take over MLS and dominate the years to come. This rumour isn't going away, Messi to MLS, in particular into Miami. Apparently PSG are speaking to him. I got the pleasure of watching him play in February, and he's still got it. He can still do it in France, so I'm not surprised PSG are after renewing his signature. But Don Garber said this week that they will move heaven and earth to get Lionel Messi here. They will compensate him and his family. I'm getting bored of talking about it, really. I can't wait for it to happen. But just how big for the league would this be?
Well, there's a reason that Don Garber wants it to happen. And it's the same reason that we're all aware of. He's the greatest soccer player of all time. You saw him play recently. I randomly got to see his first ever appearance for Barcelona. And I felt privileged ever since. You know, the man is an absolute legend, an icon. If MLS's brand was anywhere near associated with Messi's, it immediately gives it loads more credibility. So I completely understand why they're trying to do this. We saw it with David Beckham. It was unprecedented. They'd never given a team like LA Galaxy the tools to go and get that job done before with the designated player rule. And so this would be the same again. The only issue that everybody else is going to have is, well, if they can do it, why don't we get that? So I think there needs to be an element of fairness, because ultimately, if any team had the money and on the budget, they should be able to go and do a deal like that as well. So it remains to be seen. But of course, we all want it. We all want to see it. Our podcast stats and YouTube stats have rocketed in the last few weeks. Imagine if Messi joins the league, then what happens?
Hey, we'll be on Apple TV, Elliot, before we know it. We're way down the list for that. I know they've also speculated this week about giving Messi a franchise in the future, just like we did with David Beckham. You know, I think that would be intriguing. It'll be interesting. I don't know what Lionel Messi's like. I know David Beckham, he's got a very savvy business head. You know, whether it be aftershave or underwear or football boots or whatever else that David Beckham's put his name to. I don't know whether Lionel Messi's in the same bracket as that or whether he's got the same ambitions as that. But, offering... It's a really intriguing place to be, isn't it, MLS, and have an eye on it, because there's no other league in the world that will offer players a bumper contract, multi-million pound deal, and then the opportunity to own one of the football clubs in the future.
Yeah, I think in terms of him having a franchise, that's just MLS trying to, that's them just looking around going, what have we got? What can we put his way? And I'm not entirely convinced he would be massively interested in that. I think we all know and anticipate that he goes back to South America when he finishes playing. Potentially a role at Barcelona, of course, as well. So I don't know about that, but we certainly know there will be more franchises, probably another 50 in the next 3 years. And if one of them goes to Messi, it won't make any difference to Don. He's counting his Garber bucks in his high tower. And we just keep adding teams. If one of them goes to Messi, Let's just get him in the league while he's still playing.
Well, speaking of Garber bucks, he's going to be having a lot more if our fourth story of the week comes true. Apparently, MLS have teamed up with the same production company who do Drive to Survive on Netflix. If you don't know that, Elliot is a big fan of Formula One. I literally only watch this show. I don't really watch the races, but I know what goes on through this show. It's a behind-the-scenes look at Formula One. And he's been very successful, and I know they've done a tennis one, they've done a golf one as well, an MLS one. I mean, that'll be fascinating, right?
MLS writes its own stories every single week, so with the equivalent of Drive to Survive, really hyping it up and engineering some stories as well, I think it would be a fantastic watch. I love Formula One. I think Drive to Survive is fantastic. It's brought millions of new viewers to the sport. And if that, you know, again, another fantastic way for MLS to market themselves and to grow with the Apple deal and getting Messi over there. And if we get a Drive to Survive style drama, then of course that's going to benefit as well. And just keep thinking of those podcast stats. Woo!
Yeah, this is going to be so exciting if this comes off. I think for MLS, it's got so much to give. There's so much drama, you know, and I think that to be behind the scenes and see that will be incredible. Obviously, Apple TV deal as well is going to bring a lot more to the plate. And I think it's just going to be fascinating to have that. You know, but I mean, there's not that many teams in the league and there's that much going on. You can't just have a 10 episode series. It's going to surely have to be sort of a 40-episode series to get through everything?
And will it be on Netflix? They've literally got a deal with Apple TV. I'm sceptical on this.
Yeah, just imagine that. All that money Apple TV is spending, and then it ends up on Netflix. But I doubt that will be happening. Apple TV, I'm sure, have written it into the contract that anything that comes up like this will go on Apple TV. And I can't wait. It's going to be incredible. All the stuff that we don't get to see. I bet there's loads of stuff that happens behind the scenes that we'll be able to see. Yeah, and who knows? It could really open people's eyes to MLS and get a whole new audience. Right, well, that's nearly it from us for this episode of MLS UK Show Stoppage Time. Before we go, though, like last time, we will be answering a question that we've had in from one of you, one of our listeners or viewers. This is coming on Twitter. Andy Walsh, who is he's from Salford, actually. So I've never bumped into him, but he's from down the road where I am at the moment. So he'll be getting very wet right now with the rain. He said, I've been lucky enough to see MLS matches in Orlando, Dallas, Atlanta, New York City and LA Galaxy. And he's chosen the team Houston Dynamo. Don't know why from that. He said, I'm hoping to get over the pond again this season, but whose ground should I visit next?
Fantastic question. I mean, what are you looking for? The atmosphere of, you know, in the likes of Portland just entices me so much. Like, I'm desperate to go right out west and see that. But then right on the other side, you've got the stunning views of Subaru Park in Philadelphia. Of course, I highly recommend Orlando. Just go to Disney as well. We need to do them all of them, Andy.
Yeah, I think Andy should be our guinea pig. He should go to every single MLS stadium and then tell us which are the ones not to bother to go to, because we've both only ever been to Orlando. I would say, I think Portland's a must. We've both said that. We've both said it on this podcast and on other podcasts as well, that Portland is going to be an incredible visit when we get there. I think the newer stadiums as well, you know, I liked St. Louis. I said on the last episode that it kind of gave me a sort of a British vibe to it with everyone stood up. Apparently the food's brilliant as well. So St. Louis is definitely one. I'd like to visit Red Bulls Arena. That's a nice stadium. And then you go into Canada. I think BC Place looks incredible. Toronto's ground, Montreal's. I'd have to learn my French, though, if I went to Montreal's. So there is so many to visit. I think my favourite would have to be Portland, though. But, yeah, other than that, any of the newer stadiums. Philly, like Elliot said. I mean, we love MLS. We'd just like to visit one. You know, we're very jealous that you've gone to five there, Andy.
Yeah, let's sort a full tour out. That needs to happen. But of course, when you're heading to an MLS game, you've got to be kitted out. You've got to have your jersey on. So don't forget, make sure you check out our show sponsors, soccer90.com. It is the place to go to get all of your MLS merch, loads of European teams in there as well. And I was listening to a podcast earlier on today, right? And the presenter said, oh, well, the product's quite good, but I just really want to tell you that the guys running it are really nice. And I thought, do you know what? I bet they aren't as nice as the guys at Soccer 90, because we don't just talk about it because they're our sponsors. Like, these guys are incredible. They work so hard in the Soccer Hall of Fame in Dallas. So shout out to the guys at Soccer 90 for supporting us. And of course, we got a discount code as well, haven't we?
We have, yeah, 20% off. Type in MLS UK at the checkout and that's what you get. We need to say as well, just on the stadium bit, we missed out Dallas. Yeah, Andy has been to Dallas and we would love to go to Dallas just to visit our sponsors, but and the Soccer Hall of Fame as well. So much to do amongst MLS stadiums. Right, don't forget, if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe and write a comment in the comment section. If you've got a question for us on the next episode of Stoppage Time, then please ask away. If you're on your podcast provider, please subscribe, follow us, and also leave us a rating. But Elliot, there's one rule and one rule only.
LA Galaxy style, 5 stars only, please. Thank you.
Yes, exactly. Right, that's it from us. We're going to be back very soon. But for now, I've been Henry Hewitt.
And I've been Elliot Holman. Enjoy another week of MLS.
See ya.
Podcast Network.